Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the 7th chapter of Matthew, and we've studied down to about verse 7. And you need to understand that our Lord's public ministry was to Jews under the law. The scripture teaches us, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. And if you go look back at the history of the nation of Israel when they were in Egypt and God was judging the false gods of Egypt, there were 10 false gods. And the last one that was judged was the firstborn. And with each of those judgments, then Pharaoh would say, okay, I'll let you go a little ways and so on and so forth. But leave your children behind. Or he had all kinds of compromises for the Jews to make. And ultimately, as soon as that Moses, by the hand of God, would take the judgment away, then Pharaoh would, start tightening the screws on the Jews again. Yeah. And so finally we get to the last of those false gods, which was the firstborn. And so the Jews were to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, and they were to examine that lamb until the 14th day of the month, and they were to take the blood of that lamb and strike it on the doorpost and lintels of the house where they were dwelling. There had to be a lamb for each household. If you couldn't afford a lamb by yourself, then you would go with a neighbor, and wherever that the lamb was slain and the blood struck on the doorpost, then it would be roasted with fire inside that house. And then, of course, God was going to pass through the land, and he led the nation of Israel out of the land. And ultimately, they end up down at the tip of what we would call Mount Sinai. Roman Catholics have a St. Catherine's on Mount Sinai on the Sinai Peninsula, but there is no Mount Sinai on the Sinai Peninsula. The geography of the Sinai Peninsula is all wrong with what we read in Scripture. When the Jews, they were trapped, the Egyptians were behind them, and the Red Sea was in front of them. There was a mountain of Baal-Zephon and Pi-Hahiroth close to them. They were boxed in. And God told Moses, it's not time to pray. Stretch forth your rod and go forth. And when he stretched forth the rod, the winds blew through the night. And in the morning, the water was, it was standing up like jello, on either side. And the Jews went across on dry land. And in that portion of the Red Sea, this is the eastern leg of the Red Sea. In that portion, actually, Israel has a port. If you go all the way up to the headwaters, there's a port there that Israel has out to the south that they can get in and out without going through the Suez Canal. And anyway, that's everything up. And the Jews, and part of that, under the sea, there's, I don't know what you call it, but there's rock formations and all kinds of things. And then there's a channel which is open, which is seaworthy. But the Jews were able to, actually, when the water stood up on either side, they were actually able to cross on dry land. And then the Egyptians coming along behind, they start into the sea, and God causes their wheels to fall off their chariots, and total confusion. Here you've got a disciplined army and a mob. The mob goes across with no problem, but the disciplined army, because of the judgment of God, they start having trouble with their chariots, and then the water collapses back in on them, and the whole Egyptian army was drowned in the sea. Then when you go across the Red Sea a little ways, then you come to a place called Mara, where the waters were bitter. And then beyond Mara is Elam, you know, where there, it was like an oasis. And we actually have, you remember the story of Elijah when Jezebel, after they had the contest on the mountain and all that sort of thing, and the gods of the that Israel was worshiping were, you know, let's see whether God's God or whether these false gods are God, and had the judgment. And then I just mentioned her name.
Jezebel.
Jezebel, yeah. She, you know, she had a warrant out for Elijah's capture and beheading. And he fled down to a mountain across from the Mount of God. And on that mountain, there's a tunnel. And he dwelt there and could see the Mountain of God before him. There's nothing like that on the Sinai Peninsula. That's over in Saudi Arabia, and which, you know, if you read the scriptures and follow what it says, it's all there. But the so-called scholar said, oh, they didn't cross the Red Sea. They went through the Reed Sea, and they waded through 18 inches of water. But the scripture says they went over on dry land. And it's pretty amazing that a disciplined army can drown in 18 inches of water and all the people get across just fine. So the so-called scholars, in their attempt to undermine what actually happened prophetically and historically, you know, then they make a mess of it, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Well, when the Jews were delivered from Egyptian bondage, then at a point in time, they were complaining because they didn't have food. And we're going to starve to death out here. And God said, okay, I'm going to rain bread from heaven, and you'll gather, go out, you know, 5 days a week or 6 days a week, you gather enough for that day, and on the sixth day, you gather enough for 2 days. Yeah. And the Jews, you know, of course, but there won't be any manna on the seventh day. You gather enough for that on the sixth day, which is the Jewish Sabbath. Yeah. And the reason that God gave that to Israel, he fed them in the wilderness with manna and with quail. You know, they'd go out and catch the quail. By the time they'd fly across the Red Sea, they'd be worn out, and they could just grab them. You know. And God fed them that way for 40 years. But the primary reason for the manna was to see whether the Jews would keep God's law or not. And they failed miserably. You know, some gathered less than they were supposed to, some gathered more, but all had the same amount. You know, God provided it. And then, don't go out on the seventh day, but they went out on the seventh day. You know, and so, they, in that one simple law, the Jews showed that they couldn't possibly keep the law. Even so, when God gave the law to the nation of Israel, they heard it orally before Moses went to the mount to get it, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. If they'd had just a halfway honest view of themselves, they would have said, all that the Lord has spoken, it's impossible for us to do. Now, if you want to read the Ten Commandments in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, you go back there and read that. And when you read the first four commandments have to do with man's relationship with God, so it's revealing God. And then the last six, it's, you know, man's relationship with man. And in our Lord's public ministries, we're going to see he never ever dealt with Israel based upon the first four commandments. He always dealt with them on the basis of their relationship one with another. Now, and they failed miserably. But they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. Before Moses got down from the mount, you know, he was on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Jews, you know, after a while they say, where's Moses? He went off, and then they began to worship the bull god, Apis. There's various names for it, in Egypt. And in the worship of that god, as with the worship of all of the false gods in the land, that worship was done by sexual immorality. Okay? It was a regular Woodstock. I mean, you know, rock and roll music and go out in the bushes and mess around. Okay? And the Jews were doing that, and it sounded like, you know, Moses could hear what was going on in the camp. He said, it sounds like the noise of war. Yeah. But it wasn't the noise of war. It was the noise of the Jews having a great old time. You know? So when Moses came down, he had the two tablets of stone in his hand. And when he saw what was going on, he took those tablets of stone and threw them to the ground, and they shattered. You know, and some of these so-called scholars say the Jews glued them back together. No, Moses went to the mount a second time, and God gave him the law the second time. First time, God wrote the law with the finger of his hand. Second time, Moses wrote the law on the tablets of stone. And those two tablets of stone were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. And God told the nation of Israel, make me a dwelling place or an ark, you know, where I can dwell with you. So when we read in the book of Exodus, the last, from the 20th chapter to the end of the chapter, there is five times as much information about the other thing that Moses got on the mount besides the law. And most people don't know what it was. Well, it was the pattern of the tabernacle. Make me a tabernacle that I may dwell with you. Well, the scripture is very clear. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. But the tabernacle was representative of God dwelling with man. So it was representative of Jesus Christ. And there was an offering made daily but once a year on the Day of Atonement, then the priests were to select two goats, and when they selected those goats, one goat, they would cast lots to determine which goat would live and which goat would die. And so the goat that would live, they confessed the sins of the nation of Israel on the head of that goat, and a priest took it into the wilderness to lose it, so it couldn't find its way back to the camp. And that goat represents Jesus Christ as our sin bearer, who bears our sins away outside the camp to never be remembered against us anymore. Then the second goat, on the Day of Atonement, high priest would make a sacrifice for his own sin because he was a sinful man. Yeah. And that doesn't have a countertype in Christ, but then Christ is our both the scapegoat and the slain goat. And so the sins of the nation of Israel were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ so that he could bear the judgment of them. What proves that? The scripture says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Okay? And then it says, you remember, when they were down ready to go into Israel after being 40 years in the wilderness, the Jews were showing a lot of unbelief, and God sent fiery serpents into their midst. And they were bitten, and they were dying. And they cried out to Moses, and God told Moses to fashion a serpent out of brass, and place it on a pole. Well, what is that symbol that nurses and doctors wear? Yeah. A cross with a serpent on it. That's basically it. And lift it up before the people, and whoever looks will live. Okay. And so when they looked, they lived. And then what's the scripture say? It says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In other words, if you were crucified or impaled on a tree of any sort, that was a sign of a curse. And if you didn't keep the law, you were cursed. So the curse of the law that was on Israel was transferred to Jesus Christ, and he bore it to the cross of Calvary. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, or anyone that hangs on a tree. And so Christ took the curse of the nation of Israel upon himself, and he went to the cross of Calvary. Remember when he prayed the night before? He prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, he knew it wasn't possible. That prayer wasn't for his sake. That prayer was for our sake. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, in those two sacrifices, the scapegoat and the slain goat, one was taken into the wilderness and lost. Their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. The other was taken, and it was sacrificed, put to death. Its blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And when the blood was on the mercy seat was a golden box. You know, and inside that box, had a lid on the box of pure gold that was like the streets in the New Jerusalem. It was so pure, it was transparent. And there were two cherubim kneeling with their faces towards the ark and their wings outstretched. They didn't touch, but they nearly touched. And they're on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what was in the Ark of the Covenant? Well, when the Jews, didn't keep the law, it was given to them to show whether they would keep the law or not, but they had to put a pot of manna in the Ark of the Covenant. What's it show? It shows a broken relationship. All they were supposed to do is gather food 5 days a week. On the sixth day of the week, they were to gather enough for 2 days, and they weren't to gather any on the seventh day. That's pretty simple. Doesn't take a lot of moral integrity to keep that commandment. But they failed miserably. So because of that failure, that was put in the Ark of the Covenant. Then, the pot of manna. That was put in the Ark of the Covenant. The tablets of stone were put in the Ark of the Covenant. And Aaron's rod that budded was put in the Ark of the Covenant. With respect to Aaron's rod that budded, the nation of Israel, we don't know what's happened to Moses. Let's choose up leaders and let's go back to Egypt. And so remember, they got the rod of each of the leaders of each of the 12 tribes. And they put them with the tabernacle overnight. And what happened? Overnight, Aaron's rod budded. God chose Moses and Aaron to bring the nation of Israel out of Egypt, but the Jews were ready to kill them and go back to Egypt. See? So that's in the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. So we got the tablets of stone. We've got the pot of manna because they failed with respect to the collecting for it. And then we have the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone. So why was that ark? It was called the Ark of Testimony. What was the testimony? The testimony, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It wasn't just true of Israel, it's of everybody. And so on the Day of Atonement, which is observed at the end of the Jewish year, in the seventh month, and on the Day of Atonement, they would make the slain goat, the scapegoat, goat that was done every year, And so the Day of Atonement represents the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth when he brings salvation to the nation of Israel. So when the high priest would come out of the holiest of holies on the Day of Atonement, you know, he'd make a sacrifice for his own sin. That doesn't have a countertype. And then for the people, and they take that sacrifice, sprinkle the blood seven times on the mercy seat. When the blood would blot out what was below it, you know, what was it? Ark of Testimony. What's the testimony? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's the testimony. You measure yourself by the law, you're going to be short, because God demands perfection. And we can't supply perfection. So what does God do then for us and for Israel? An atonement, a vicarious atonement, a substitute stands in their stead. So Christ came in the fullness of time, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and then he offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. Remember, on the morning of his resurrection, you know, the women came to the tomb. It hadn't dawned on the first day of the week yet, still dark, and they saw Jesus. And they wanted to cling to him. And if you read it in Greek, it's, don't cling to me. I've not yet ascended unto my God and your God, unto my Father and your Father. In other words, he hadn't yet fulfilled his high priestly ministry of sprinkling his blood, you know, not the blood of goats, which could never take away sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who cleanses us from all sin. He had not yet sprinkled it on the true mercy seat in heaven, of which the one on earth was a pattern. Okay? And so he took his blood into heaven, sprinkled it there. So when the devil accuses us, and he accuses us night and day, all that God has to do is make reference to the blood on the mercy seat and then say, case dismissed. Okay? Because the promise of God for whoever has his faith in Jesus Christ is their sins and iniquities will I remember against them when? No more. So in the Old Testament, nobody could keep the law, but it was used to condemn the Jews. But the sacrificial system and the tabernacle were given to make an atonement or a covering for sin. Now, those sacrifices could never take away sin, but they were fulfilled by Jesus Christ in his person and in his work upon this earth, in his first advent upon the earth. See? And then he ascended to heaven, wherever lives, to make intercession for us. And the devil accuses us because he can, night and day. But every time he accuses us, is, you know, God blocks it because their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. Why? Because of the shed blood on the mercy seat. So, the Jews tried to justify themselves by law. And I'm going to read the first six verses again. Judge not that you be not judged. Okay? So, if I judge you, then I'm under law for a Jew. With the judgment that I judge others, I'll be judged. And they were always judging somebody else to justify themselves. So by doing that practice made them guilty before the law. They were guilty before the law. Anyway, so judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote? You got a little speck in your eye, you know. You didn't wipe the sleep out of your eye when you got up in the morning. You know, during the night, the fluid on your eyes are closed. It all washes down to the corner of your eye. And we had that myth when I was a kid. Oh, the Sandman came because I got to get the sand out of my eye in the morning, you know. That's what it's just dirt that washes down to the corner of your eye. And so I can see it in Eric's eye. You're not grooming yourself very well, Eric. Let me take that out of your eye. But then I've got a 2x4 in my own eye. And that's what Jesus says here. So, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye. You hypocrite, you pretender. A hypocrite is an actor in Greek, hypocrites. Okay? First cast out the beam out of your own eye. You know, if you can get that beam out of your eye, then you might be able to see clearly to get the speck out of somebody else's eye. Okay? And then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs or to the Gentiles. The Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs, you know. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. And, of course, that's another reference to the Gentiles, you know. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The Gentiles were just as good as the Jews. You know, no one gets to heaven by the life that they live. The reason that God gave the law to the nation of Israel is, you know, he chose a people in Abraham. He promised that the Christ in the Garden of Eden, when he judged the serpent, and he promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Well, that speaks of the virgin birth of Christ. And so when Christ came and fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and fulfilled all righteousness, and there was no cause of death in him, he took upon himself your sins and mine. Now, he prayed in the garden, and I've read some really ridiculous statements about this. But he prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, he knew, he willingly took our sins upon him. He willingly went to the cross. He didn't make that statement for his sake. He made it for your sake, because the scripture says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. There's no way for man to atone for his own sin by the life that he lives. So Jesus Christ, who was a Jew, born under the law, virgin born so that he could be both God and man, lived his life as a Jew, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, had no cause of death in him, but went to the cross of Calvary. Now the scripture says, cursed is everyone that, anyone that fails of the law, they're cursed of God. And then anyone that's hanged on a tree is cursed of God. Now Christ couldn't be cursed because of sin, but he took your curse and my curse upon himself and died a vicarious or a substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. That's why the scripture, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All of the religions of the world are predicated of one thing. They're predicated of man's understanding of right and wrong. Varies from one culture to another. But all of the religions of the world, and most of what's called Christianity, most of what's called, and all of what's called Judaism, really, is all based upon what man can do for God. But man cannot fulfill the law perfectly, and God demands perfection. So cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. People get in, they read the Ten Commandments, and they, oh Lord, help me each day to get better and better so that I can eventually make it into heaven. And that's basically what all of religion is about. Religion is about what man can do to satisfy God. And man can't do anything to satisfy God. Only God can satisfy God. That's why he became a man through the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew, and offered himself as a ransom for sin. So then Jesus says, give not that which is holy. I read that in verse 6. Verse 7, ask, and it shall be given to you. If you're lost, and all of us are, apart from Jesus Christ. For me, faith in Christ came when I was 21 years old, when I was home on leave, and I've told that story so many times. But my mother said, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go? I went, and that day I heard the gospel and believed and was saved. And, you know, now Eric, he wasn't saved till he was 21, but he was in this church from the time he was a little boy. And he thought he was a Christian. And he came and came and came, and he kept promising God, I'll do better, I'll do better, I'll do better. You know. And I wouldn't say this if he didn't say it himself from the pulpit. Yeah. And so finally he was sitting back there where Weston is, and one Sunday morning, preached the gospel. He's 21 years of age. Bam. Yeah. All of a sudden he realized, you know, I'm a sinner and Christ died for me. When I went forward that morning, and of course we don't give an invitation in this church, the Spirit of God's going to save whoever he's going to save by his word and by his spirit. You know. So, but anyway, they gave an invitation. I went forward. The one thing that overwhelmed me more than anything else was my personal sin. Now, I'd never been arrested. I'd never been drunk. all of the things that people, you know, think are good behavior. But, you know, we're sinners. We're sinners by birth. You know, and you can see a little baby. He's been changed, so his diaper's clean. He's dry. He's warm. He's not too warm. He's comfortable. But he wants to be held by mom, so he cries. And mom runs over and picks him up. He settles down. She lays him back down. So after a little while, mom might keep picking him up every time he complains. She's conditioning him. I'll give you what you want. Just holler. And I can remember, Emily's not here this morning. We were taking care of her. And Aaron... And he was married to Trudy at the time. They went out. It's the first time that Emily had been left with us, you know. And she was mad, you know. There wasn't any way that she was going to be satisfied. She just crying her fool head out, you know. My mom and dad aren't here, and I'm mad. So after a little while, we took her in. Put her in the middle of the bed, made sure that she couldn't get in any trouble. Closed the door, let her cry herself to sleep, and she did. Yeah. And people never learn from that. They're constantly trying to pacify their children rather than correct their children. And the scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You know, just as parents are supposed to chasten their children. Read the book of Proverbs, and I'll teach you all about it. Don't listen to the educators and the psychologists and the psychiatrists and all of those people. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And if you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Okay? So, just because we're saved doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't get a switch out from time to time, because it's necessary. Okay? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Jews were the custodians of the truth. It was portrayed to them in the sacrificial system. But they weren't looking at the sacrificial system. They said, we can do it ourselves. And the scholars rewrote the law, as it were, and they had all kinds of things, do this, do that, to make you feel that you were keeping it when you weren't keeping it. Yeah. And so we can see our Lord's interpretation of the law, you know, because he always made it much harder than what the Jews said. Yeah. Because he interpreted it for what it meant, and not what they could, in their own mind, salve their own conscience. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. If you want to be saved, just say, God, save me. You know, you ask it in faith, and he'll give it to you. know. Okay, so ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So if you're standing at the door, somebody's going to open the door. Okay? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now the Jews wouldn't ask because they didn't perceive themselves as needing a Savior. And we, you know, we can fall into the same trap, you know. And you say, well, I know that guy. He calls himself a Christian. I've seen him get drunk. I've seen him, you know, ogle a cutie that walked by or rode her bicycle down the street in front of him or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So he says, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? You know, do you ever, when your children are hungry, did you just say, no food today, kids. Here's a stone. You can suck on that. See how much nourishment you can get out of it. Yeah. No, nobody can do that with their children. See? So, or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? You know, I want some smoked fish. Oh, no, here, take this rattlesnake and play with it for a while. Yeah. Within the realm of human morality, which is pretty corrupt, people wouldn't do that, see? And God's much greater than we are. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Well, the only good thing that we can ask is, Lord, save me. You know, because I certainly can't make myself fit for your presence. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you. Now, Jesus is using the law lawfully. See, the Jews thought they were keeping it. And they had a whole tradition of which gave them the sense of keeping it. That's why people will call Christians hypocrites. You know, I'm not pretending to be holy. I'm not pretending to be righteous. I'm not pretending to be just. I'm not even pretending to be good. I am what I am. It's like this. Have you ever heard the story about Puffer Billy? He was that little engine around the yard, you know, used just to move a car from here to there. But the big trains broke down, and they needed one to get the load over the hill. So Puffer Billy says, I know I can. And he pulled the load over the mountaintop. Yeah. That's the way the world thinks. You know. But we're not really able to pull the load over the mountaintop. But I like Popeye theology better. You ever read Popeye? I don't even know whether they're still in the newspapers or not. Yeah. Popeye said, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Yeah. And I am what I am, and that's all that I am. I'm a sinner, but now saved by grace because the Spirit of God quickened the Word of God to my heart, and I believed it and was saved. So Jesus says to these Jews, enter ye in at the straight gate. No. Now they thought the gate was their attempts at law keeping. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Back in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and again in the 16th chapter, Solomon wrote, there is a way which in one place, and that in another place. Just shows there were two different translators, because it's the same Hebrew word. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Now, what are the religions of the world based upon? They're all based upon your conduct. If you're good enough, you're going to go to heaven, right? Or you're going to have a reincarnation until you all eventually become a high Hindu and are perfect. You know, whatever it is. All of the religions of the world are based upon what man can do for God. Biblical Christianity, biblical Judaism was based upon, or is based upon, what God has done for man. Now, the sacrificial system could never take away sin, but it was given to the Jews to point them in faith to the Christ who would come in the fullness of time. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They were satisfied with their self-efforts. Yeah. And people look at the Jews, and this is why there's so much anti-Semitism in the world. They look at the Jews, and they see them as a quarrelsome, greedy, good-for-nothing people. You know, whatever epithet you want to put to it. That's the way they see them. Well, look in the mirror and you'll see yourself the same way. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth. Now, that was the purpose of the law for the nation of Israel. If you think you're good enough to go to heaven by the life that you live, read the 20th chapter of Exodus. And I guarantee you, you can't read it without it bringing conviction to you. Or then read it, our Lord's interpretation of the law in the Gospels. I guarantee you, you can't keep it. Oh, okay, so that's why he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. What did Jesus tell the Jews? I am the door. A gate is just another form of a door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, what causes us to enter at the door? We recognize before the law, I'm condemned. God is a holy, righteous, and just God, but he's also a God of love, mercy, and grace. And he's in the plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. All of the attributes of God are satisfied. Christ fulfilled the law in our behalf, and then we have an inheritance. Because Christ fulfilled the law, all that was promised to the Jews for keeping the law belongs to Jesus Christ. And the scripture says we're heirs and joint heirs or co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So our inheritance in heaven is ours because Christ stood in our stead in life and stood in our stead in death. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He fulfilled all righteousness. And he said, finally, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And so he willingly went to the cross of Calvary. But when he went to the cross of Calvary, don't blame the Jews for crucifying him. Don't even blame the Romans for crucifying him. He put himself in that position. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. So Christ, who is God incarnate, fulfilled the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and then died as a ransom for your sins and mine. And if we believe that, he says, I give unto you eternal life, and ye shall never perish. So when we read these things, enter ye in at the straight gate, people say, that's a narrow way of living. You can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't spit, you can't chew, you can't go with girls that do, or any of that kind of stuff. No, Jesus is the door. I am the door, he said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Okay? So, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. All of the systems of the world, all based upon man's morality, all of those ways lead to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate. There's only one way into the presence of God, is in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And we'll stop there for this time, and pick up at verse 15 next time. All right. We covered a lot of material. It shows how the Jews failed miserably before the law. But like you with yourself, and I'll give my own experience in this, and then we'll close. When I was 12 years old, I had rheumatic fever. In the years that I had that, at that point in my life. That would be 1944. Okay, I was 12 years old. I had rheumatic fever, and at that point in time, it was a killer. Every kid that got it just about died, and I had it, and it's a terrible disease. It's like you have rheumatism. Your body aches all the time. You know? And I missed a lot of school in those years. But school was always easy for me. I still got good grades whether I attended or didn't attend. But the point is, I would lie to myself. I'd lay asleep at night or awake at night and think about my own mortality. And in order to be able to go to sleep, I'd have to end up by lying to myself. Well, I'm not really that bad. So if I die, surely I won't go to hell. Surely I'll go to heaven. Then I can go to sleep. But when I got to be 21 years of age, I found out that was a bum rap. There's no entrance into heaven by the works of our own hands. Yes, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. Pray that you'll bless it to our hearts, that we may grow in the things of the Lord, be strong in the faith, to recognize that you knew all about us before the foundation of the world. And the scripture says of us that you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And some people try to make that based upon merit, but that would be a contradiction, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You foreknew us because of who you are, but at a point in time we had to come to the place where we were convicted by the law and trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and you gave us the faith to do it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.